Chapter 57. By the side of most railways out of London, one may see almshouses and retreats, generally with a wing or a centre wanting, and ambitious of being much bigger than they are, some of which are newly founded institutions, and some old establishments transplanted. There is a tendency in these pieces of architecture to shoot upward unexpectedly, like Jack's beanstalk, and to be ornate in spires of chapels and lanterns of halls, which might lead to the embellishment of the air with many castles of questionable beauty, but for the restraining consideration of expense. However, the manors, being always of a sanguine temperament, comfort themselves with plans and elevations of loomings in the future, and are influenced in the present by philanthropy towards the railway passengers. 4. The question how prosperous and promising the buildings can be made to look in their eyes, usually supersedes the lesser question, how they can be turned to the best account for the inmates. Why none of the people who reside in these places ever look out of window, or take an airing in the piece of ground which is going to be a garden by and by, is one of the wonders I have added to my always lengthening list of the wonders of the world. I have got it into my mind that they live in a state of chronic injury and resentment, and on that account refuse to decorate the building with a human interest. As I have known legatees deeply injured by a bequest of £500, because it was not 5,000, and as I was once acquainted with a pensioner on the public to the extent of 200 a year, who perpetually anathematized his country, because he was not in the receipt of 4, having no claim whatever to 6 pence. So perhaps it usually happens, within certain limits, that to get a little help is to get a notion of being defrauded of more. How do they pass their lives in this beautiful and peaceful place? ... was the subject of my speculation with a visitor who once accompanied me to a charming rustic retreat for old men and women. A quaint ancient foundation in a pleasant English country, behind a picturesque church, and among rich old convent gardens. There were but some dozen or so of houses, and we agreed that we would talk with the inhabitants, as they sat in their groined rooms between the light of their fires, and the light shining in at their latticed windows, and would find out. They passed their lives in considering themselves mulcted of certain ounces of tea by a deaf old steward who lived among them in the quadrangle. There was no reason to suppose that any such ounces of tea had ever been in existence, or that the old steward so much as knew what was the matter. He passed his life in considering himself periodically defrauded of a birch broom by the beadle. But it is neither to old almshouses in the country, nor to new almshouses by the railroad, that these present uncommercial notes relate. They refer back to journeys made among those commonplace, smoky-fronted London almshouses, with a little paved courtyard in front enclosed by iron railings, which have got snowed up, as it were, by bricks and mortar, which were once in a suburb, but are now in the densely populated town. Gaps in the busy life around them, parentheses in the close and blotted texts of the streets. Sometimes, these almshouses belong to a company or society. Sometimes, they were established by individuals, and are maintained out of private funds bequeathed in perpetuity long ago. My favorite among them is Titbull's, which establishment is a picture of many. Of Titbull I know no more than that he deceased in 1723, that his Christian name was Samson, and his social designation Esquire, and that he founded these almshouses as dwellings for 9 poor women and 6 poor men by his will and testament. I should not know even this much, but for its being inscribed on a grim stone very difficult to read, let into the front of the center house of Titbull's almshouses, and which stone is ornamented atop with a piece of sculptured drapery resembling the effigy of Titbull's bath towel. Titbull's almshouses are in the east of London, in a great highway, in a poor, busy, and thronged neighborhood. Old iron and fried fish, cough drops and artificial flowers, boiled pig's feet and household furniture, that looks as if it were polished up with lip salve, Umbrellas full of vocal literature and saucers full of shellfish in a green juice which I hope is natural to them when their health is good. Garnish the paved sideways as you go to Titbull's. I take the ground to have risen in those parts since Titbull's time, and you drop into his domain by 3 stone steps. So did I first drop into it, very nearly striking my brows against Titbull's pump, which stands with its back to the thoroughfare just inside the gate, and has a conceited air of reviewing Titbull's pensioners. And a worse one, apostrophe said a virulent old man with a pitcher, there isn't nowhere. A harder one to work, nor a grudgener one to yield, there isn't nowhere. Apostrophe apostrophe this old man wore a long coat, such as we see Hogarth's chairman represented with, and it was of that peculiar green hue without the green, which seems to come of poverty. It had also that peculiar smell of cupboard which seems to come of poverty. The pump is rusty, perhaps, apostrophe said one. Not it, apostrophe said the old man, regarding it with undiluted virulence in his watery eye. It never were fit to be termed a pump. That's what's the matter with it. Apostrophe, whose fault is that? Apostrophe, apostrophe said one. The old man, who had a working mouth which seemed to be trying to masticate his anger, and to find that it was too hard, and there was too much of it, replied, them gentlemen. Apostrophe, what gentlemen? Apostrophe, apostrophe, maybe you're one of them? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the old man, suspiciously. The trustees? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I wouldn't trust them myself, apostrophe said the virulent old man. If you mean the gentlemen who administer this place, no, I am not one of them, nor have I ever so much as heard of them. Apostrophe, I wish I never heard of them, apostrophe gasped the old man. At my time of life with the rheumatics drawing water from that thing. Apostrophe, apostrophe, not to be deluded into calling it a pump, the old man gave it another virulent look, took up his pitcher, and carried it into a corner dwelling house, shutting the door after him. Looking around and seeing that each little house was a house of 2 little rooms, and seeing that the little oblong courtyard in front was like a graveyard for the inhabitants, saving that no word was engraven on its flat dry stones, and seeing that the currents of life and noise ran to and fro outside, having no more to do with the place than if it were a sort of low water mark on a lively beach, I say, seeing this and nothing else, I was going out at the gate when one of the doors opened. Was you looking for anything, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe asked a tidy, well-favored woman. Really, no, I couldn't say I was. Not wanting anyone, sir? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, at least I pray, what is the name of the elderly gentleman who lives in the corner there? Apostrophe apostrophe, the tidy woman stepped out to be sure of the door I indicated, and she and the pump, and I stood all 3 in a row with our backs to the thoroughfare. Oh. His name is Mr. Battens, apostrophe said the tidy woman, dropping her voice. I have just been talking with him. Apostrophe, indeed? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the tidy woman. Oh, I wonder Mr. Battens talked. Apostrophe, is he usually so silent? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, Mr. Battens is the oldest here, that is to say, the oldest of the old gentlemen in point of residence. Apostrophe, she had a way of passing her hands over and under one another as she spoke, that was not only tidy but propitiatory. So I asked her, if I might look at her little sitting room? She willingly replied yes, and we went into it together. She leaving the door open, with an eye as I understood to the social proprieties. The door opening at once into the room without any intervening entry, even scandal must have been silenced by the precaution. It was a gloomy little chamber, but clean, and with a mug of wallflower in the window. On the chimney piece were 2 peacock's feathers, a carved ship, a few shells, and a black profile with 1 eyelash. Whether this portrait purported to be male or female passed my comprehension, until my hostess informed me that it was her only son, and quite a speaking one. apostrophe, he is alive, I hope. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, sir, apostrophe, said the widow, he were cast away in China. Apostrophe, this was said with a modest sense of its reflecting a certain geographical distinction on his mother. If the old gentlemen here are not given to talking, apostrophe, said I hope the old ladies are, not that you are one. Apostrophe, she shook her head. You see, they get so cross. Apostrophe, how is that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, whether the gentlemen really do deprive us of any little matters which ought to be ours by rights, I cannot say for certain, but the opinion of the old ones is they do. And Mr. Batten's he do even go so far, as to doubt, whether credit is due to the founder. For Mr. Batten's he do say, anyhow he got his name up by it, and he done it cheap. Apostrophe, I am afraid the pump has soured Mr. Batten's. Apostrophe, it may be so, apostrophe, returned the tidy widow, but the handle does go very hard. Still, what I say to myself is, the gentleman may not pocket the difference between a good pump and a bad one, and I would wish to think well of them. And the dwellings, apostrophe, said my hostess, glancing round her room, perhaps they were convenient dwellings in the founder's time, considered as his time, and therefore he should not be blamed. But Mrs. Saggers is very hard upon them. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Saggers is the oldest here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the oldest but one. Mrs. Quinch being the oldest, and have totally lost her head. Apostrophe, anew? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am the youngest in residence, and consequently am not looked up to. But when Mrs. Quinch makes a happier lease, there will be one below me. Nor is it to be expected that Mrs. Saggers will prove herself immortal. Apostrophe, true. Nor Mr. Batten's. Apostrophe, regarding the old gentleman, apostrophe, said my widow slightingly, they count among themselves. They do not count among us. Mr. Batten's is that exceptional, that he have written to the gentleman many times, and have worked the case against them. Therefore he have took a higher ground. But we do not, as a rule, greatly reckon the old gentleman. Apostrophe, pursuing the subject, I found it to be traditionally settled among the poor ladies, that the poor gentlemen, whatever their ages, were all very old indeed, and in a state of dotage. I also discovered that the juniors and newcomers preserved, for a time, a waning disposition to believe in Tittle and his trustees, but that as they gained social standing they lost this faith, and disparaged Tittle and all his works. Improving my acquaintance subsequently with this respected lady, whose name was Mrs. Mitz, and occasionally dropping in upon her with a little offering of sound family hyson in my pocket, I gradually became familiar with the inner politics and ways of Titbull's almshouses. But I never could find out who the trustees were, or where they were. It being one of the fixed ideas of the place, that those authorities must be vaguely and mysteriously mentioned as the gentlemen only. The secretary of the gentlemen was once pointed out to me, evidently engaged in championing the obnoxious pump against the attacks of the discontented Mr. Batten's, but I am not in a condition to report further of him than that he had the sprightly bearing of a lawyer's clerk. I had it from Mrs. Mitz's lips in a very confidential moment, that Mr. Batten's was once had up before the gentleman to stand, or fall by his accusations, and that an old shoe was thrown after him on his departure from the building on this dread errand. Not ineffectually, for, the interview resulting in a plumber, was considered to have encircled the temples of Mr. Batten's with the wreath of victory. In Titbull's almshouses, the local society is not regarded as good society. A gentleman or lady receiving visitors from without, or going out to tea, counts, as it were, accordingly. But visitings or tea drinkings interchanged among Titbullians do not score. Such interchanges, however, are rare, in consequence of internal dissensions occasioned by Mrs. Saggers' pail. Which household article has split Titbull's into almost as many parties as there are dwellings in that precinct. The extremely complicated nature of the conflicting articles of belief on the subject prevents my stating them here with my usual perspicuity, but I think they have all branched off from the root and trunk question. Has Mrs. Saggers any right to stand her pail outside her dwelling? The question has been much refined upon, but roughly stated may be stated in those terms. There are two old men in Titbull's almshouses who, I have been given to understand, knew each other in the world beyond its pump and iron railings, when they were both in trade. Apostrophe they make the best of their reverses, and are looked upon with great contempt. They are little, stooping, blear-eyed old men of cheerful countenance, and they hobble up and down the courtyard wagging their chins and talking together quite gaily. This has given offense, and has, moreover, raised the question whether they are justified in passing any other windows than their own. Mr. Batten's, however, permitting them to pass his windows, on the disdainful ground that their imbecility almost amounts to irresponsibility, they are allowed to take their walk in peace. They live next door to one another, and take it by turns to read the newspaper aloud, that is to say, the newest newspaper they can get, and they play cribbage at night. On warm and sunny days they have been known to go so far as to bring out two chairs and sit by the iron railings, looking forth. But this low conduct, being much remarked upon throughout Titbull's, they were deterred by an outraged public opinion from repeating it. There is a rumor, but it may be malicious, that they hold the memory of Titbull in some weak sort of veneration, and that they once set off together on a pilgrimage to the parish churchyard to find his tomb. To this, perhaps, might be traced a general suspicion that they are spies of the gentleman, to which they were supposed to have given color in my own presence on the occasion of the weak attempt at justification of the pump by the gentleman's clerk, when they emerged bareheaded from the doors of their dwellings, as if their dwellings and themselves constituted an old-fashioned weather glass of double action with two figures of old ladies inside, and deferentially bowed to him at intervals until he took his departure. They are understood to be perfectly friendless and relationless. Unquestionably the two poor fellows make the very best of their lives in Titbull's almshouses, and unquestionably. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.